As we continue our reading through the Mount, the Sermon on the Mount and the Beatitudes, through the various elements of this sermon, really it strikes to the very core of who we are or what we believe as Christians. It really does set us apart from anyone else who are around us. The pagans at the time when they heard these words, love your enemies? Who does that? Why would you do that? And even for the Jews themselves who are hearing this message from Jesus, for the Jews, love of enemy isn't necessarily a virtue. As a matter of fact, there's a rabbi just recently in the last couple of years who wrote a book called The Virtue of Hatred, about how it's good to actually hate your enemies because that protects you and your friends, to hate the people, to have that distrust of them and keep them away. That's self-preservation, and how that could be a virtue. But you see how that's opposed very directly, 180 degrees from what Jesus is offering us in the gospel this evening. But in a lot of ways, we're called to something that's impossible, so to speak, quote unquote, impossible. Be perfect as your heavenly Father is perfect. Well, good luck with that, right? I don't know. For those of you who are married, all you have to do is ask your spouse, am I perfect? Am I getting there? I'm sure they could give you a couple of pointers and things to work on. But we're not perfect. We have faults. It doesn't take long. You don't have to dig very deep to find those. So what is Jesus getting at? What is he asking us to do? The same thing with our first reading from Leviticus. The Lord said to Moses, speak to the whole Israelite community and tell them, be holy, for I, the Lord your God, am holy. So when I was preparing for this homily, I was kind of comparing and contrasting those two words. Perfection, what Jesus called us to, and holy, what God asks of in the Old Testament. Now that word holy, for example, it comes up in the Bible a lot. Depending on what translation you use or you look at, that word holy or holiness comes up 650 times. That's a lot. Holy and holiness. But actually, I was looking at the etymology of that word and kind of the usage in America. And the word holy and holiness is used 150 times more 100 years ago than it is today. In other words, it's fallen out of our vocabulary. Holy, holiness, what is it? You know, if I were to ask you to define what is holiness, I don't know. It's kind of hard to do. We have some vague sense. You could probably point it out when you see it, right? You could see a holy person. That's a holy person. Like, they live consistently. There's something about their being. When you look at the way Mother Teresa of Calcutta comports herself, there's holiness there. You can recognize it, but to maybe define it, that's a little bit trickier. But in the Latin, holiness, sanctus, right? So what we say at the Holy of Holies in Mass, sanctus, 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 holy, holy, holy. St. Paul says that's what the angels are whispering. They whisper in heaven during Mass. When they're there, they're in awe. Holy, 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 Lord God of hosts. Sanctus. It's the same word from sanctus. It's the same Latin word, the same derivative, where we get saint. Sanctus, saint, sanctifying. One who is sanctified, a saint. Holiness is the same word that we get saint. And so saints and holiness are very much tied together. It means, in the Old Testament usage, consecrated, dedicated, set aside, apartness. So if we kind of keep that as a backdrop for what from the Old Testament, what God is asking us for, and then apply it in light of the New Testament. Perfection. Telios in Greek. Complete. Wholeness. Intact. Full grown and mature. Be perfect in that way. We're looking for a wholesomeness. So we're not looking for an absolute, never ever make a mistake ever. If we hear perfection, be perfect as your heavenly Father is perfect, and we hear wholesome, we hear whole, we hear complete, That casts it into a little bit different light, doesn't it? Think about Mark chapter 12, verse 30. Love the Lord your God with your whole heart, your whole soul, and all your mind and all your strength. That's the greatest commandment, right? In other words, what he's asking for in that is perfection. That's what he's saying. With your whole mind, whole heart, whole soul, whole being, everything, love God with that. It's just another way of asking for perfection. And then that's the greatest commandment in the law, he says, right? And then he follows that up with, and the next is like it, to love your neighbor as yourself. Okay, so we have this idea of holiness, of being dedicated, set apart, and wholesomeness. Whole of the whole entire being, your whole, every fiber of who you are, set apart, dedicated to God. These two words together, holiness and perfection. Is that possible for us? The answer is yes. So let me ask you this. Father Capon's cause is up for canonization right now. They're looking for holiness, right? When they review his life, we sent 14 some odd thousand pages, individual pages, over to Rome, and they review all of his writings, all of these notes that they go through to see, was Father Capon a saint? What are they looking for? Are they looking for miracles? No, they're not. That's not what they decide whether or not a person is a saint, whether or not that person lived holiness. You know what they look for? Is there the presence, the supernatural and perfection of charity? Was there the presence of a lived out supernatural charity? That is a determining factor of whether or not they canonize someone. And I think if you use that as a bar for Father Capon, I think there's a pretty good chance that, yeah, they do have to look at miracles. It's confirmed by miracles, but that's not what they look for in throughout the course of their life. Did they practice charity? Because that's how you grow in love. That's how you grow in holiness. And every single saint, sanctus, every single holy person has perfected that art of charity to the extent and the capacity that they are able to. And that's what Lumen Gentium, the document of Vatican II, it's the document on the church in the modern world. There's a whole section on that quotes these passages that we're reading today about the universal call to holiness. And before 1960, it wasn't something that was necessarily talked about openly or for everyone, of everybody is called to holiness. It was very much set as like the priests and the nuns and the religious, they become holy and everyone else just kind of, we eke by and we, you know, try not to sin too big and that's what we do. But the Second Vatican Council said, no, every single person is called to the perfection of holiness in their state of life. Whether you're a plumber or whether you're a nurse or what, doesn't matter. Married, single, old, young. The perfection of holiness that each of us are called to attain. And I guess just one final thought, that when I was in seminary and I was trying to implement this idea of trying to grow in holiness, and I kept putting it off, like my time of prayer, the things I knew I needed, I thought I should do to grow in holiness, the things I was feeling drawn towards, and I kept making excuses of why I couldn't do it, why I was too busy. And I would tell myself, because it's so easy to do in when you're in school in a semester system, of like, once I'm done with this assignment, this paper, then I will be able to move on. Or once I'm done with the finals for this course, just because this semester is terrible, once I'm done with finals, when I get the Christmas break, then I'll start making my daily holy hour. Once I, oh man, this year I have to make it to this summer. Once I'm there at the summer, and finally, very gently but very firmly, God said, Curtis, you have to live holiness now. in the middle of your busyness. You don't grow in holiness once you're done with the test. You grow in the holiness by giving me the test while you take it. By what you study, by what you struggle with right now. Not once it's over. That's the trap we fall into. And the thing is, I did that again and again and again, and it kept coming up. Like, oh, well, once I'm done, once I get to that point, no. Right now. Exactly, precisely the things that you are struggling with right now. Not once you get your schedule figured out, not once your problems and headaches go away, but right now in the midst of them, because of them, and through them. That's how we grow in holiness. Be perfect, for your heavenly Father is perfect.